Friends, we come to the last portion or the last part of the series of Pursuing Heaven that we have been considering for some time now for our midweeks. And tonight I want us to, in a very devotional way, to speak about heaven, the end of our pursuit, heaven, glory, where Christ dwells. Are you pursuing heaven? Do you long for heaven? Are you waiting? Are you longing for leaving this world? Do you long to be with the Lord, the Savior? Do you long to be in a place where He is, without sinning against Him, without any more the imperfections and the limitations, without the troubles that we face? Is that your real desire, or is your life demonstrated by a longing for this world, by a care for this world, this life? Well, in this concluding study, we'll appeal to every child of God. And while we are down here on this earth, we may experience heavenly joy. We have looked at that as we have studied this subject. We can enjoy the things of heaven in some ways here and now. We can have that joy and peace in our hearts, knowing the Lord's presence with us, His heavenly presence, as our Savior walks with us and talks with us. The Apostle says this in Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation, that is, let your the way of life, be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So this is the promise the Lord gives us in this life. We can have His presence with us. And you think about the help of man and the earthly help. He says, you don't need to have the earthly help because the Lord is my helper, and He's from heaven. But my friends, we are not destined to live here. We are not destined to live down here forever. We are bound for our heavenly home. This is not our home. And so it is a wonderful thing. When a Christian dies, we refer to it as their home call. They've been promoted to glory. They've gone home to be with Christ. Well, the Bible doesn't tell us too much about heaven, but just enough to thrill our hearts as we think of the bliss and glory that is shared by all whose home it is. Shortly before our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary to die for our sins, he gave to His first disciples and also to us, His following disciples, a very wonderful promise, and we read it earlier on. He says in verses 2 and 3 of John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. What are the mansions? It's the abiding places. It is the resting places. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And it is upon this promise that we base our confidence that heaven is our home as well. That's what the Lord has said. And the Lord will not tell us anything that is an exaggeration or a lie. No. And there are three significant reasons, at least, why every Christian should be helped and encouraged by a meditation upon the subject of heaven. And what we want to do just is very devotional. Not delving into this in great depth, but I encourage you to pick up a book about heaven that has been written by various individuals. I think of the various Puritans such as Richard Baxter wrote about heaven. A large volume, The Saints' Everlasting Rest, he called it. And it's a wonderful book. Study it, meditate upon the words that the scriptures that are expanded in that book. But here is a very simple devotional this evening. And this is important for us because of at least three things. First of all, because we are most surely going to heaven. It's going to be the place you are going to end up. If you are a child of God, born again of His Spirit, that's where you are going. Don't you want to know about it? Don't you want to find out about it? So every true-born Christian, truly born-again Christian, I should say, those who have been washed by the blood of Christ, we are bound for that heavenly city. And it is good for us to learn about it. Where are we going? Our names are written there in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Think about that. In this world, where are your names written? On many pieces of paper, on many files, on many, many documents. Your names are there on a passport. Your name is there. But all of those things will perish. All of those names of yours will be deleted one day. The file will be deleted one day. But there is a place that your name will not be deleted. It's already there. And it was there before you were ever born. It is the place where all of the names of God's elect are written. And the Lord says, this is why you should be rejoicing, because your name is written and kept in heaven. And you imagine it, many of God's people, many of God's children are already living there. How many millions are already there? When we think about heaven, we have a very small view of it. We forget about the many angels. We forget about the millions and millions of God's people from both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Sadly, there are some people who believe that the Old Testament saints, they never go to heaven, or they are not there in heaven. They're in some place of resting place and in a bit of a state of limbo. Well, no, my friends. Moses and Abraham and all of those things, they were rejoicing to go there. They spoke of heaven. And this is what the scripture says in Ephesians 3 and verse 15 about heaven, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole family in heaven and earth is named. Of whom? That is Jesus Christ. We are believers in Him. So there's a family in heaven and there's a family on earth. So is it not natural, therefore, that we should want to know something about the country to which we are traveling and in which we are to live with our Lord and all the company of the redeemed forever and ever? There will never come an end. To everything in this world, it seems that so many things, there will come an end to our life, the various experiences in your life. Your job will finish. You retire. Your holiday will end. So many things that we experience in life has a deadline, has a finish time. But not heaven. So that is one thing. Secondly, we should be interested in this because we all have loved ones in heaven too. We all have. If you are a Christian, you have loved ones in heaven. The very mention of heaven reminds us of some who are there now. Who are they? You might first think about your family members, maybe. But first, there is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ is there. Isn't He the one that we love the most? Above everyone else? The angels of heaven are there. The saints of all the ages are there. David and Solomon. The apostles. They are there. Don't you want to see them? But also those of our loved ones who have died in the Lord. Those Christians who have died in the Lord. Those who are in Christ are there. So how natural it is for us to be interested in heaven if our triune God, but also in a lesser way, our parents, our children, our loved ones, and friends are there. Wouldn't you want to know something about it? And thirdly, we need to take interest in heaven because this is our Lord's prescribed cure for a troubled heart. Your heart is troubled. This is one of the prescribed cures that the Lord Jesus Christ tells his disciples. These are disciples who have been disappointed. The Lord Jesus Christ had said in the previous chapter that he would be going to be to the cross. He will lay his life down for us. And so they are troubled. And they think, here is the Savior is going. What are they going to do now? And unbelief sets in, and all sorts of other things that sets in, that troubles them. And the Lord Jesus Christ sees all of that. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. So then he goes on to speak about heaven, where he is going. So your troubled heart, what's the remedy for it? Is to contemplate heaven, but not just heaven, but who is in heaven? The Lord is in heaven. And friends, I know you and you know me, our hearts are often troubled, perplexed, burdened. And surely it helps us to think of heaven as our home. That's where we are going. We would be happier, healthier Christians if we spent more time viewing heaven rather than this earth. How much did you spend time this week thinking about the Lord and his ways and his things? And how much time did you spend in reading articles and viewing news channels and all kinds of other things that had to do with the things of this world, the troubles of this life? No wonder you're miserable. And I'm miserable. I include myself in it. No wonder we are distracted. No wonder we are set on edge. We are not contemplating the things of heaven and Christ, who is the center of it. So spend more time considering the things that are in heaven. That's where our treasure is. But if you are all that you are doing is gathering up and considering things of this world, be it this body, the things we possess, it will one day vanish away. It will be taken away from you even by force. But heaven will not be taken away. And when you have heaven in your heart, that won't be taken away. I remember reading of a man who was a believer. I can't remember his name now, but he was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had memorized so much of the scriptures in the time where the Church of Rome was seeking to persecute the Christians. And they took away all of his books. They took away all of his Bibles. They took everything that they could see that he could benefit from as a Christian. But he said to them, but you can't take away what's in my heart. You can't take away the Word of God in my heart. And I can meditate on that. I can think upon that. Have you not seen Christians who are, who, if you look at them outwardly, they should be miserable and most discouraged. And yet they have a smile on their faces. They're rejoicing in the Lord. And they are being a blessing to you as well. Why is that, I wonder? I would put to you, it's because they are more thinking about the things of glory, things of heaven, things of Christ, than us. So let us think on these things very briefly. First of all, the Lord Jesus Christ says to us here that heaven is a place. Heaven is a place. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, he says. It's a place. Heaven has locality. It has situation. Just as London, just as other cities around the world, And just as hell as well. Hell is a place, has a location. The Lord speaks about the keys of heaven, hell in Revelation chapter 1. And the Lord Jesus says, I am going there to prepare a place for you. And that place, he describes it as the Father's house, in which are many mansions. Now, these places that you inhabit, these places that you abide in, these places that you rest in. Yes, heaven is real. Where is heaven? If you think about the words of Acts chapter 1 and verses 9 onwards, this is what we read. And when he had spoken these things, that's our Lord, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Or when Stephen saw the Lord in heaven, the Lord opened up, as it were, a window into heaven for him to see. In Acts 7 and verse 55, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. You see, my friend, the Lord gives us that insight. See something of his glory. And the point is here, he was full of the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to see beyond this world. And so daily we need that infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. The thing that Stephen had that day. So what kind of place is this? Of course, the Lord is there. That makes, we don't have to talk about anything else as long as we know. The Lord is there. That suffices us. But there are certain things that we know. It's a place of eternal joy, of course. It's a place of eternal blessedness. And that this fact is not only emphasized in the Bible by the description that we are given of the glories and the beauties of heaven, but by what will be missing in heaven. There are certain things that won't be there. And so because they are not there, we know it's a place of joy. It will be a blessed place because certain things won't be there. In heaven, there is no sin. In heaven, there is no sin. In Revelation 21 and verse 27, this is what we read. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So things that defile, sin defiles, things that make lie, those things that are abominable in God's sight. There is no sin. In heaven, there is no sorrow, no death. And that's why it will be a happy place, a joyful place, a blessed place. Because there is no sorrow or death. Again, Revelation 21, verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So it's all former things now. We say, those things are past. It's finished. It's gone. It's over. And also, there is no night there. This morning, I was looking to see if I could get something for the children for the night and to buy a light for the evenings, because they always say they are scared when we put out the light. But there is no night in heaven. Because the Lord is there. The glory of the Lord is there. There is no sun in heaven either. But that reference regarding the night is in Revelation 21, verse 25. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. So, it's speaking about day, the day will not end. It will, there will be a day coming that will never finish. There is no night there. The scripture says that there is no separation in heaven. There are no seas in heaven. Do you know what seas do? It separates us. That's what seas do. There is no separation. There are no tears. We read about that. There is no war in heaven. There is not going to be any. When Christ comes, there is not going to be another war after that. All wars will be over. Nothing to mar, nothing to spoil. No more curse. There is no more condemnation in heaven. There will be no more fall. There's nothing going to be another fall that will take place. No. So it's a place of eternal joy because of certain things that are not there. But also it's a place of holy companionship. A place of holy companionship. So above all, to be in heaven means to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he is with us now. He said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. But then we shall be with him. We shall be with him forever. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8, we read, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We'll be present with the Lord. It's not just him being present with us. We will be present with him. Heaven would not be heaven without his presence. So it's a place of holy companionship. It's a place of glad reunion as well with our loved ones. As well, we've already thought about that. And this is our confidence, sure confidence, that when we say goodbye to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to a father, mother, to a husband, wife, those who are in Christ down here, we will meet them once again. Of course, not as married couples anymore, because there is no marriage in heaven. But we will see them. We will recognize them too. There are people who would use the text, and I wouldn't fight with them about this, but I think it's misinterpreted, but it is a wonderful text. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12, where it says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And oftentimes this text is used about heaven. I think it's actually talking about the scriptures, but that's another point. However, we will know people in heaven. Why would I say that? Because there were people who came down from heaven and they were recognizable by the disciples. Don't you remember the ones who came on the Mount of Transfiguration? How was it that Peter recognized? Oh, that's Moses. Oh, that's Elijah. Had he ever seen? Did they have a photograph of Peter and Elijah? No, God had revealed these things to them. And so you don't have to worry about it. Maybe you're losing your mind. I am losing my mind. Maybe you're forgetting of people and thinking, will I remember them? Yes, you will. You will have a glorified mind. And you will have memory that will always be there. And it will be amazing. And people you've never met before, never seen before, you'll recognize them. We were talking earlier on about having a name badge on us so that we could recognize each other. But in heaven, you don't even need to have a name badge. We will recognize each other. And what a day that would be. What a day of reunion that will be. It will also be a place of joyful service. Joyful service. We will serve the Lord forever and ever in worship, in adoring him, in following him, in learning of him. In Revelation 22, verse 3, we read, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And then it says, and his servants shall serve him. His servants shall serve him. It says. So there is services still left for us to do forever and ever. And all of us will be involved. You know, in this life, oftentimes it is the case in the life of a local church that certain aspects of service falls upon just a few handful of people. It's always been the case. I read a little article by J.C. Ryle just over 100 years ago. He wrote, it was as if you would, it was a minister of today writing. And it's amazing. And I said to Becky, well, things haven't changed much over 100 years. With all the technology, he's talking about the same kind of things. But one thing will be clear for us. Everyone, every one of God's people will be serving him. How they will be worshiping him. No more limitations. Nobody is stopping us. So those are some of the things that I thought we could think about. Heaven, some of the things that will be there. But also, the second thing is that heaven is a prepared place. It's a prepared place. Nearly 2,000 years ago, our Savior said, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. What a glorious place it must be. You have certain sight of it from the Scriptures, certain glimpse of it in the Scriptures. Of course, we have to remember that many of the expressions are so that we may understand, have a little understanding of it. You can't take it literally. But again, oftentimes people use this text. I don't think it is the right interpretation if we use it for heaven. But we could, I suppose, it's not necessarily about heaven, but we use this in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. It's a quotation from the Old Testament. But it's regarding to the glory of Christ and what will be revealed in the New Testament. That's what it's saying. That they were only seeing things in shadows, but now in Jesus Christ you have these things now. So, yes, it's about the Old Testament people of God and what they had not really seen. But now in Christ, we see what was prepared for us in him. But there are many things that are too great for us, using the expressions that are used in that passage in 1 Corinthians 2:9. There are many things too great for us to comprehend. We can't take it in. Imagine if God was to take you right now to heaven. You will burn up. You couldn't cope with it. You would have a heart attack. And that's why you need a glorified body. Your mind will not work in heaven as it is right now. You can't contain it. And so the Lord gives you little pictures, little sight of his glory. And so it was that our Lord Jesus Christ, when he just lifted a little curtain of his glory, people fell back. Peter couldn't, said, depart from me, he said. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, they also fell down. So there are many things that will be revealed for us one day. And it will take us eternity to understand. But until we are made those perfect spirits in heaven, we long for it. We should seek to understand some things about it and realize that it is a prepared place. So in our Lord's simple statement, we have a wonderful revelation of his great love for us. He's preparing for us who are so unworthy. And so he wants us to be there with him forever. He said in John 17, verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. And so he has gone on to prepare the home where we shall live with him forever. And so we shall be with the Lord it says, and so we shall ever be with the Lord. We read in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Many years ago, God led Noah to prepare an ark for the saving of his house. Many years ago, God prepared a great fish to swallow up that disobedient servant, Jonah. And God has also, in a solemn way, in a serious way, has prepared a place for those who are to be damned in hell too. But heaven is prepared for every true believer. Hell is prepared for every unsaved soul. But for the Christian, we can say, this is being prepared for me, and I have had nothing to do with it. You've had nothing to do with it. You have not prepared it. Those saints in heaven haven't prepared it. But God has. Jesus Christ has. And the third thing is this. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. For a prepared people. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Who are these people? These disciples were still not prepared. These disciples still needed to be discipled. These disciples needed to grow still. And all who believe in Christ as Savior and Lord, and who come to Him to the Father by Him, they are being prepared. And so He says to them, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, ye also believe in Me. How foolish it is to say, well, everyone will go to heaven. Heaven would be hell to some people. They would be out of their environment, like a fish out of the water. Heaven is the home of heaven's people. Are you one of heaven's people? Are you aiming to heaven? Are you depending on Jesus Christ who will come again and to receive you unto Himself? Well, if so, then you will enjoy days of heaven upon earth as you travel to your heavenly home. In our first message, some time ago now, some months back, we thought about the experience and the pursuit of heaven from Deuteronomy 11 and verse 21. It is one of those first occasions where the Lord promises Moses and his people that your days may be multiplied, that's His promise, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swore unto your father to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. We thought about that. We can have something of heaven now. We can have some experiences of heaven with us now. But we won't have it in its completion. We won't have it in its fullness. And so we are pursuing it. We are going there. And it's all because of Christ. And we have thought about God's grace. We have thought about how He hears our prayers, how we can praise Him, how we can rejoice in Him, how we can fight battles against sin. On all of these things, as we pursue heaven, that's what we are doing. As we read in Nehemiah, they had their swords on their side, ready to fight. They were in with one hand building, moving, praising, giving, serving, all of these things. As you pursue heaven, that's what you're doing too. It's a busy life. It's an exciting life. It's the life that the Lord sets for us. Is that your life? Well, these days will end one day. The things that we are seeing all around us, the building here, the largest cathedrals in this world, it will crumble one day. Big governments and systems and establishments and all those things that men build, they will come down one day. And they will vanish away. Even this world that God has made, it will be rolled up. And there will be a new heaven and new earth. So let us be more concerned about that than this world and this life. Let us make sure that we are going there Let us make sure that we are also leading our children to go there. And if you're married, that your spouses are being encouraged to go there too, together. Because this will all end very soon. And then it will be, we will experience it in full. We will experience heaven as heaven itself. And who will be the one that we will see? Who will be the one that we want to see is Christ, the one who has prepared it for us, the one who had us on his heart. Before he ever came from his heaven to earth, we were on his heart. He never forgot us. And he will never forget us. Well, may God help us then in this pursuit. It is a blessed pursuit. And may each one of us be encouraged in these things.